Often we get so busy doing work for God that we sometimes become exhausted and we don't hear God. When you have your quiet time, or when you come and you sit in the service, do you hear God? You see, so many times we reflect on what we're doing that we forget to reflect on who we are and who He is. You see, ultimately, I'm going to back up in Scripture in just a moment that God doesn't really care about what you're doing for Him or you think you're doing for Him, but He cares that you are who you are supposed to be and you walk according to that. That is so, as you go through Scriptures, and you Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter which one you look at, how people acted, calling themselves either the nation of God or children of God, there was always a light shone on how are we acting. I want to read in 1 Kings, start out this morning, it's chapter 6 in verse 11 through 14. And the backdrop of this is the fact that, as we know, King David wanted to build God a house. And because of the warfare and the bloodshed of David, God did not allow him to do that. So David did everything he could to prepare for that day when his son, Solomon, would build the house. If you've never stopped and just looked at the detail of the house that he built, and the magnificence and all that went into it and all the hard labors and all the surrounding nations that pitched in to help build this miraculous house for God. I think it took 7 years to build this house. And we complain because it takes, what, a year to build a house? It took 7 years to build this house. And after all of that and all the sweat and the blood and everything that had been done to build this magnificent house for Almighty God, doing something for God, can we even build anything for God? First biblical truth here is the fact that God doesn't need me. I can't do anything for God that God can't do for Himself. And that's one aspect that a lot of religion, when we get real religious, we think we got to go do something for God or write a book or do something great for God. We got to, put this. Well, Solomon felt like he needed to build his house. God really didn't care about the house. But he would have a place where the people could come and go. And if they sinned, they could come and ask for forgiveness for God and burn incense and offerings. But listen to what God had to say about this whole thing. Now the word of the Lord came to Solomon saying concerning this house which you are building. If, gosh, here it is again. Did y'all know that's one of the most popular words in the Scripture is if? And we skip right over if. And we don't even take in consideration what that means. I'm going to do this if. This is going to happen if. Very important word. So after he built all this house, sweat and tears and all this kind of stuff, building of this house, if you will walk in my statutes, I'm not impressed with the house you built me. I'm more impressed in how you're going to walk. What are you going to do from this day forward? That's what I'm concerned about. Will you walk in my statutes and execute my ordinances? Carry out. Be an example to the people that you're leading. Let them know that God is the only thing that matters. We worship Him, exalt Him, present Him as holy. Keep my ordinances and keep all my commandments. Not some of them, not a few of them. But He said, keep them all. He said, by walking in them. See, knowing the commandments don't do any good if you're not walking in them. A lot of people praise themselves on the fact that they spend so much time reading God's word and studying. Didn't hear all the sermon, but saw bits of the sermon that Terry had on. And this guy was saying, study the word of God, study the word of God. You got to make sure you study the word of God. Make sure that's a thing that you do in your life is study the word of God. Totally contradictory to what I preach. See, God has shown time and time again that you can't study this and get this, but it has to be revealed to you when he is ready to reveal it to you, not when you're ready to get it. See, we've based everything upon us. What songs do we sing? You know, well, do we like it? Is it fun? Does it make us jive a little bit? You know, no, it's about God. And he goes on to say, walking in them, he said, then I will carry out my word with you, which I spoke to David, your father. And I dwell among the sons of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. It says, so Solomon built the house and it was finished. So let's look at 1 Kings 9:1-8. So obviously what God writes at one time is pretty darn important. But when God thought this was kind of an incredible thing that he reminds Solomon, because you see, once you get all these things sometimes and your life gets real comfortable, you become very complacent with God. You don't really need him anymore. Things are going well. We're healthy. We've got a lot of money in the bank. You know, job's going well. Marriage is going well. Kids aren't doing too bad. Man, you get into that really happy place in your life. All of a sudden, you just don't need God anymore. Listen, this must have been pretty darn important because God come a second time and listen what he said. Now it came about when Solomon had finished building the house, and this is after 7 years, and all that Solomon desired to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time as he had appeared to him in Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication which you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built by putting my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. So Solomon had prayed that for the people, that if they sinned against God, that they could come to this house and God would hear their prayers and God would forgive them of their sins and make things right with them. And so, but in verse 4, he goes, as for you, you're the leader. You're the king that I put in place. In Sunday school, we talked about this. The leaders are responsible for the people and how they lead the people and how our government has so contrary to God's word, not leading us in the way of the Lord, but against the Lord. As for you, I will walk before me. If you will walk before me as your father David walked in integrity of heart. That's not a word you hear anymore. Integrity. You know, that's being righteous and doing what's right, not based because of what you think's right or what you want to do, but, and nobody's looking. And nobody's looking. Not for a show, not for a pat on the back, but the fact that your heart is true and has the integrity of God and righteousness. He says, if you'll do that, and in uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and you will keep my statutes and my ordinances. Wow. Once again, it's about obedience, isn't it? God didn't save you to go to heaven. God saved you so that you'd know he was God, and so that you could carry out his commandments and be obedient to him in a lost, perverse world, so you could be the light to those that are lost. Guiding people to the one that can make a difference in their life, not telling them to stop doing this and stop doing that and stop doing this and stop doing that. And all this religion stuff, well, you got to give your money. You got to do this. You got to do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. And that's what the world thinks about the relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's not nothing that at all. It's about knowing who God is. And coming to the understanding of what he saved you from and what he's released you from so that you walk in integrity. A child of God ought to be the most trustworthy, hardest working that you can imagine. But see, the word Christian has come along, it's become a religion, and they are the worst people you can hire. They're the worst people you can do business with. They're the worst people that you want to associate with. And that's sad. goes on to say that all that I command you, and you will keep my statutes and my ordinance, and then and only then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, just as I promised to your father David, saying that you shouldn't lack a man on the throne of Israel. But if, there's always with God a but if. And see, we don't like the but ifs of God. See, this is how I'm telling you it's going to be. We're not negotiating this. That this is not a contract where we kind of coexist together. This is Almighty God, King of the world, the sovereign holy God, telling you this is how it's going to be. And it doesn't matter if you don't like it. He didn't do this so that you would like it. He did it because he's holy and he's righteous, and that was the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming, is so that you could be holy and righteous, not go to heaven. But if you and your sons indeed turn away from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, and you go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and the house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. So Israel will become a proverb and byword among all the people. See, God is not impressed with the house that Solomon built. He's more concerned that how do you bear his name? And you call yourself children of God, and yet you're far from me. With your lips you serve me, but with your heart you're far from me. Worship doesn't mean anything. We take it just casual. We come in and we socialize and we glad to see one another. And two or more gathered in my name, I'll be in your presence. You stop acknowledging God and stop acknowledging holiness. When the singing of the songs are not important in your life, why are you coming? Why are you here? Do you think that God is impressed with the fact that you showed up today? He's not delighted at all that you showed up today. When your actions don't show it, when the worship and the singing don't matter, when the word of God doesn't matter, that you're going to separate time away and say, man, nothing's going to interrupt this time. See, we have become such people of, well, our needs need to be met first. But when we really want something, isn't it amazing how long we'll stand out in the rain to buy tickets for a stupid concert or watch a stupid soccer game or do all those things and put ourselves through misery for what we want? But to show God holy? And we think that we come here because we're just a little bit more righteous than everybody else, that God is as pleased? Well, he's not. And this is what he tried to share with Solomon here. I'm not pleased with you at all for building a house for me. That's not what I'm desiring. That's not what I'm wanting from you. God doesn't want you to show up at South Elkhorn here. He just don't want your presence. He don't want to keep track of your attendance. He wants your heart to be right. He wants you to walk integrity. Don't call him by his name if you're not being perfected to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. We're all at different levels of spiritual maturity, but there are some that should be walking a lot further than they have been because they've stifled their growth. Because they've reached a point in their lives where they think that, oh my goodness, I've been doing this for so long, I've got this figured out. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You don't have it figured out. You've still got a lot more to learn. We all do. Don't think because I just stand up here and I'm your pastor that I'm not figuring things out. But I'm being led and I'm trying to figure it out. And you know what? And then when I stop figuring it out and God shows it to me, it's a whole lot easier. The more I know, the more he allows me to know, the less I realize I do know. He's a magnificent, holy God, and I can't understand him in this flesh or in my mind. If you're not wanting to grow, you can't reach a point in spiritual walk where you reach a point and say, well, this is as good as I get. If you're not growing, you're dying. One thing you can't do spiritually is stay at a certain place. Now Satan will come along and he'll help you to realize that you're okay with God. And he'll say, man, you know, you're doing good. I mean, you do show up every now and then. You come in for part of the service. You know, I mean, shoot. You know, you didn't make any concessions for God, but you're doing pretty good. Look at old Joe over there. He don't do nothing. But look at you, man. You're doing good. See, that's what we want to hear, isn't it? We want that pat on the back to tell us how good and how righteous we are instead of looking at scriptures and letting God say, where's your integrity? If this is just a show and you're here for just a show, you're better off to stay home. Not only are you affecting the body, but you're also affecting your family. And men, I'll have something to say for you on Father's Day. Because the men of this world and the men of this country, God's going to hold them accountable for what's happening in our world today. Because we do not have men with integrity. He goes on to say, I'll cut off Israel from all the land which I've given them and the house which I've consecrated for my name. I will cast it out. I didn't care about it. I'm just going to throw it away. So Israel will become a proverb and beyond among all the peoples. And this house will become a heap of ruins. A heap of ruins. All that was put in there, all that money that was spent, all that hard labor is going to be thrown away only because we're not carrying your commandments and your statutes and walking in integrity. God's will to throw it all away. See, I think we put way too much on our efforts and not understanding that we are the workmanship of God. And therefore, if we are the workmanship of God, and we are the ambassadors of God, and we are the light to a lost world, then our integrity should matter. This house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone who passes by will be astonished and hiss and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and his house? And they will say, because they forsook the Lord their God. You see, the problem we have is we think that we have to bow down to a wooden idol, and we don't think what we do is forsaking the Lord. See, we have come up with our reasons that we're pleasing to God instead of waiting for God to tell us he's pleased with us. And that's a problem in our world today, is that people think that they're pleasing to God by what they're doing and not the integrity of their heart. They say, because they forsook the Lord their God who brought their fathers in the land of Egypt and adopted other gods and worshiped them and served them, therefore the Lord has brought all this adversity on them. Well, God didn't do that. God didn't make your life tough, does he? God wouldn't do that. That's not the God I want. That's not the God we need to throw this book away and get us another book and get us another God so we all be happy. Isn't that all it's about, we being happy? No, we forsake God in a lot of ways. But because our hardness of our heart and our integrity of our heart's not right, we don't see it. Just because we're more righteous than that other person over there doesn't make us righteous in God's eyes. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. Why is this so important? First of all, it's so that you don't perish, so that you don't have to endure the final wrath of God and experience the second death, so that you will know him and know him intimately and know that he is God and respect him and fear him all the days of your life. But even that, you know why that's important? Because all of that will direct our lives and how we relate to someone else. You see, we are in a generation now that don't even know who God is or know the truth about God. Religion has become so popular that it has replaced, it's an idol, and it has replaced the true God. You see, we think that we're our own. When the Bible says, did you not know that your body is the temple of God? And I'm talking to the church, because the lost people won't understand this. And the lost people won't care about this. Religious people will change the wording of it to make themselves think they're doing this. Jesus says, I'm your friend if you do what I command. 1 John says, you say you love me, but you don't keep my commandments, you're a liar. First commandment says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And somehow that's lost its first place in our lives. We think that everything else, and we're fooling ourselves. Folks, we're fooling ourselves if we think that's okay. All those things that we put before God. The scriptures are so clear on this. But see, we don't read those passages of scriptures. We like to read the ones that make us feel good and comfort us and give us this false sense of security with God, that I can walk any way that I want. I can be anything that I want. And by George, God will be there anytime I just call upon him, when the scriptures does not show that. Listen to what this says. For though I'm free from all men, Paul's writing this, he says, I'm not obligated to any man. But because I have made myself, and this is voluntary on his part, I have made myself a slave to all so that I might win more. You see, and this is where soul winning has come from, and where a lot of the religions have taken it out and become a soul winner because of what Paul wrote here. Understand, you've got to read the rest of Paul's writing. No one comes to the Father that's not drawn by the Father. You know when Jesus said that. And Paul's writing saying that it's got to be revealed to you. You've got to understand that Paul wins no one to the Lord. He's not converting anybody to Christianity. He's trying to make a disciple. But you see, he realizes what he has been saved from. He had a zeal for God beyond all zeal. But he was killing the very thing and persecuting the very thing that God wanted ordained. So he was a chosen instrument, a chosen vessel. If you're a child of God, you also are chosen. Maybe not to do what Paul did. I mean, someone can't touch my handkerchief and get well. That was a special time. But nevertheless, we're still chosen. We still have a purpose. And the purpose is to live in integrity. Not to put on a show for just the moment that you're here, or the moment that you're trying to make a name for yourself. But the fact that whether no one's walking or no one's seeing, you're still the same. Is what I see what I get? See, I don't have to try to hide anything. I struggle just like anybody else. But my struggles are for righteousness, for holiness, to persevere, to affect the lives of those that are around me. Paul made himself a slave to that because he was so guilt-ridden in the fact of what he had done. And he'd actually had helped have Stephen stoned. Then when God released him and forgave him, then put him to work, he even tells Paul about the wife he's going to have. See, he says to the Jews, I became as a Jew so that I might win the Jews. See, because they are under the law. So to those who are under the law, as under the law, though not myself under the law, so I may win those that are under the law. So what he's saying is that I'm not influenced by man. I'm not holding that against them. You see, those that are under the law will be judged by the law. We know that no one can keep the law, so they're all condemned to death. But he doesn't come out and attack their nature. He didn't say, you're an idiot. You're stupid. You can't keep doing this, and you can't keep doing that. But he can associate with the fact that where he came from. That's why God says, never forget where you've been saved from. Never forget where you came from. So that you can have this kind of attitude that Paul had, is that homosexual. You become as that homosexual. Not engaging in the homosexual acts, but in the fact that they are bound in this sin and they can't help it. They're born into that and they're naturally doing what God gave them over to, their lust. Remember, we read that before, that God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do the things that are not natural, to get away the natural function of the woman and burning in desire one man to another man, committing indecent acts. So understanding what he's talking about is, he's understanding being bound into sin and letting that be a master over you. But because he is freed from it, he's not master over it, but he has the keys and the mystery to give to those folks that they might be freed from that. See, you're not going to win them by picketing signs. You're not going to win them by bashing their rallies. You're not going to win them with having heated arguments. See, it's no difference than them trying to force their ways of life on me than me trying to force my ways of life on them. Isn't it amazing that God doesn't even do that? But yet somehow the church, and I'll put church in parentheses because I don't think the real church, the born-again believers, I think it's the religious churches that we have today that do this. You know? That one person that makes cakes, and they wouldn't, for this homosexual couple, they wouldn't make a cake for them because they were homosexuals, and they were just being so religious and they were being so godly that I'll just stand up to homosexuality and I won't make a cake for them. How many cakes have they made for the adulterer, the drunkard, the thief? How come you make cakes for them? If you're going to pick sin, and you're not going to make a cake. And it happened with t-shirts too, I think. And if you're not going to make t-shirts, you're not going to make cakes for those that you deem more sinful than you, then it's going to put you out of business. Because God said we have all sinned and come short of glory, that you're born dead in your trespasses of sin. But yet you got these religious people that get, oh, we'll just take a stand. Paul said, no, I become as they are, but not obligated like they are. In other words, he's understanding where they're coming from. He understands that they have got something on them, that nature, and unless that nature is changed, they're hopefully helpless, lost. Just because you give up something didn't make you any better. You have to have a nature change, and that's by being born again. And only God can do that. And yet, if we're so offensive by the way we approach this, and we are so offensive by the way we talk about this, these people are damned for hell. It goes verse in 21, to those who are without law, That's talking about the Gentiles. As without the law, though not being without the law of God. You're never without the law of God. What he understands that he is now been freed from the law. The law has shown him his inadequacies and his iniquity. And now he has been freed to serve a new master, and not the master of sin, but the master of righteousness. So that I might win those under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, under the law of Christ, so I might win those without the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, so that I may, by means, save some. And understand, you got to understand that Paul's writing, he's not saying he's saving them. He's saying he's leading to the one that can save them. That's your only responsibility. Is to lead them to the one that can teach them and save them. And yet, we have taken it way too far. Let me tell you what's wrong with your life. Let me tell you why you're having such a bad time. Let me tell you what's going on in your life, instead of allowing the Word of God to do that. But as your pastor, I hope you understand when I teach and preach, I'm doing it by what God's Word says, not what I think you should do. You don't do what Lloyd thinks you should do, or you're in trouble, okay? You do what God says you should do. He goes on to say, I do all things for the sake of the gospel. Somebody become a fellow partaker of it. See, the Bible goes on to say it doesn't matter what you do. So many people get all, well, what does God want me to do with my life? Oh, what does God want me to do with my life? Oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, gee, I'm just so... And then they get a call from Satan, and Satan sends them out on a missionary trip, and now they get so engrossed in becoming a missionary, and then they go to theology school and become this PhD in theology. And no fruits of the Spirit in their lives. See how it happens? It can happen very easily, can't it? You're not interested in what you're doing. He's interested in who you are and the integrity that you have. Do you not know that those who run a race all run, but only one receives a prize? And we'll stop right here. It says run in such a way that you're going to win the prize. What that means is you have a responsibility as a child of God, and that's first and foremost to know Him. Second and most, to show Him holy in your life. This has got to be a sacred time. I know you've grown up your whole life coming and going, get up and doing whatever you want to do, and God's words being spoken, and it doesn't matter. That's where we grew up. That's the lie we had. But by George, we'll sit there until our bladders pop in a movie, because I don't want to miss that movie. Bladder doubles in size. But man, we're going to sit there because we ain't missing the movie. But God's word means nothing more than that to us. If we don't get this right, He's going to close these doors. If we don't get it right, He'll give us over to religion, and we'll just be like everybody else. See, I'm not saying we have to be perfect. I'm saying that the focal point of our lives is to be perfected by God and His Word. And it means something to us. And it gives us that integrity to walk in a manner. He goes on to say that There's people out there that don't know, God. And I speak this to your shame, that you walk like the world, and you talk like the world, and you act like the world, and you've been deceived like the world.